All right. Ooh, you did the Michael Jackson. So they all take a fucking page.
And I think he's innocent. Now yeah. Start.
Let's go.
I love you. Pretty, pretty young thing. You got some loving. Welcome to Respectfully Podcast. This is I'm Andrea Allen.
I'm Lizzie Cassidy, and our guest today, oh my god, hilarious stand-up comedian, past guest, lost the footage, but I think the audio episode went out.
The audio episode.
Guys,
did
it's Olivia Carter. She's back.
Yes.
Back in the stew. Friend in real life.
Yes.
How's it going?
It's going amazing. I can't wait to recreate the magic that was our first episode.
Yeah.
There's some pressure on it because it was really good.
It was really good.
I will say I spent more time on my takes for that episode.
That's okay. But the audio went out.
It was the new year too. So I think we were newly inspired.
We were.
We had a lot of stuff going on to say.
I will bring up one of your takes, which has been living rent free in my head. Was it talking about having your period and being molested as a regular thing, like something that we can calmly say, or was it just the period?
Oh, I think it was like you should be able to like casually
you should
say
it
when you're on your period and like when you were, if you were molested and like
yes.
things like that, I think should be more like commonplace
I agree.
In conversations.
And then it would make, not to like immediately jump into this, but it would make it so much easier for kids to be like, hey, I got molested.
Yes.
Yeah.
They'd be like, oh, okay. Exactly, though.
Yeah.
And it explains so many things so quickly about yourself that it's just let it rip.
I'm sure people know this by now, but that is what being a comedian, that's like the one benefit of being a comedian, is you can walk into a room full of other comedians and be like, hey, I have my period and I got molested. And
yeah,
people
that's
are like,
true,
oh, okay.
That's true.
So that's where you're coming
it's
from.
It's really a special thing space. That other people don't have. And I forget that other people like don't talk like that.
No. I know. And then I'm like an unsocialized dog when I go to a wedding.
Yeah,
because,
exactly.
Oh my God, I was at a wedding recently and I was like... I don't know if I can talk
who's having
about
miscarriage
to the bride
first
who
of all
molested and the groom
no,
where we're kind of 50-50
the groom's
on
his period. It was a beautiful wedding and I really really love the people who got married. I did get seated at like sort of oh no, I think they listen to this.
Go
I
for
can't.
It let it rip.
I was just at a table where I was like sort of involved in one of the most boring conversations
oh,
of my life.
Oh yeah,
damn, that
point,
sucks.
At one point one of the guys at the table said it's colder today than it was yesterday.
That
I was
is
like
bad.
I'm gonna shave my head and start screaming. But I could hear at the table next to me, I could hear girls who make art talking about their dads being dead.
Oh my god.
And at one point I just turned around and went, can I be a part of this now?
Yes.
You know what I mean?
No, it's I know like, what I mean. I feel like I like feel uncomfortable and shy around people who aren't
yes,
comedians.
Yes, I'm shy.
Because I'm like, I've been burned in my life before by being too authentically myself.
And
sure.
everything
and so I have
say,
to be shy a little bit.
And everything I say, they act like is a full-blown tragedy. And I was like, well, I was trying to make you guys laugh.
Yeah, we're literally kidding around.
Well, my boyfriend, who's not a comedian, has pointed something out to me in a very kind way, which is that like, I'm kind of not funny to those people.
Yes.
Because I'm not doing like, that's what she said humor. You
yeah.
know what I mean? Like,
you need to be more digestible.
Like yeah. other people, regular people are funny to them. And I'm sort of in there being like,
scary.
I'm sort
I
of
understand.
Being in there being like, I have my period and I got molested.
Yeah. I think yeah. I'm the least funny person in
exactly.
real life. No,
but,
really.
Yeah,
I think
no.
I'm like, I think I'm just like maybe the most boring person at the table.
Same.
Because I'm like, I already did my funny stuff last night.
And like, I don't really have anything to say about like, I don't have like workplace humor.
Yeah, yeah, I don't have what you guys want. And I kind of just want to talk to my friends and you guys yeah. aren't my friends.
And like, then, but then you're at this, whatever the thing is where you're surrounded by people who aren't comedians, but God forbid everyone knows you are one.
Oh, that's yeah.
bad. And so there's like, they sort of think you're going to come in like tap dancing and with props.
Yeah.
And then you come in being like, hello, it's really nice to meet you. This is a lovely catering.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, you're not funny at all. You must be
yeah,
bad at your job.
They hated that. Kind of scary. You're also kind of deadpan as well in a way that I really enjoy. Huh. But I can imagine you're also beautiful, not to
thanks,
be a weird loser about
we came
it.
Here to call you beautiful.
But like, I'm the lesbian
not
of the podcast.
Yeah,
no. But I'm gonna be out, like, usually when like a beautiful woman who's kind of quiet comes into a situation who's got like a deadpan kind of edgy humor, people are like, I'm just finding a reason to hate this woman, mm-hmm. you know, because I feel like I want her to not be funny. I want her to be boring so that the fact that I'm boring and not funny is okay or something like that.
Yeah, that makes sense. I feel misunderstood sometimes.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. No, I really do think that beautiful women are misunderstood.
We're misunderstood in comedic circles.
Yeah, and disliked by men and women alike, for sure.
And women, like in general, like if you're a woman, people want you to be like a bitch and a hag. Yeah, you know? What I'm saying. So if you like, if you are a little bit, they're like, I knew.
Yeah, I'm exactly right. I like to hold stuff. Yeah. I was gonna smell and I realized
you can have it.
It probably doesn't smell.
I'm kidding, it's not mine. A tall you can take it.
I realized it probably doesn't smell good because it's a tall candle.
Yeah, it smells like wax. Tall
candles
and
don't smell good. That's my tall candles.
Why? Okay, hot take. They should smell good.
Hot take. All candles should smell good.
This is classy, and I do want to acquire more tall candles for my life.
Yeah, it's nice to have. It makes me feel like a real adult when I light tall candles.
Like a witch. Just Facebook like an marketplace.
No, literally, I couldn't get this joke to work on stage because ultimately it is a tweet, and I am banned from Twitter. But. I tried to say on stage, everybody wants a big titty goth girlfriend, but nobody wants to blow out 18 candles at the end of the night. And that is, thanks Quincy. And that is like the truth of my life.
Yeah.
What does that mean to blow out 18 candles?
Like I'm lighting 18 candles every night because I'm a big titty goth girl.
That's funny.
And nobody wants the responsibility of having
it's
to
it's a fire hazard to date you.
I'm a fire hazard. Yeah. And you better believe I took the batteries out of my smoke detector because every time the battery runs out, it beeps and I get nervous.
Lizzie, no. Sweet, that's so
I
true.
I live in a small apartment. Lizzie, if there's a fire, I'm gonna wake up. I have a dog. It'll bark.
I feel the same way. Those fire alarms aren't worth it.
No. Oh my god.
I used to have like 21.
At least the carbon monoxide, please.
They're
ladies.
Just not worth it.
Yeah,
guys.
But I don't have like I don't have a gas stove. I don't have like anything in my house right that now. Makes carbon.
If you're gonna cast spells,
monoxide?
Like you can't have those
monoxide.
In the house.
Dioxide.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah,
that's true.
I guess the candle
worth
but...
dying for.
I keep forgetting your glasses are boobs.
Yeah. Just shout out. I figured out my boobs. I just want everyone.
Are you getting
boobs?
I keep forgetting your boobs are glass.
Yeah. I'm wearing boob glasses and I got a push-up bra, so it's a big day.
Boob day on the pod.
Subscribe to the fucking YouTube so you can see.
I'm wearing a normal bra, so it kind of looks like I have boobs. Thank
Congrats,
you.
Dude. Everyone's got their boobs.
Boob
day.
Go next.
Boob Let's go. Day. Go
next. It'll be over by, they'll have already won the series by the
yeah,
end.
Yeah, they'll
it comes
have
out
won
by
the
Nixon
series.
Five.
Nixon 5.
I've been texting your boyfriend about the
Yeah. What
That's
you guys,
not true,
What
actually.
Are you guys talking about the Knicks?
No, we're not talking about the Knicks. We just both play an online basketball game where you have to draft a team, and it tells you like what your like how many games you would win in a season with that team, and the goal is to get 82-0, win 82, lose 0.
Yeah.
And so when I get it, I send a screenshot to your boyfriend.
Nice.
Because nobody else in my life cares.
Yeah, what's that? Yeah. I haven't even heard
and
this
by the
game.
Way, I don't think he does either, but...
No, he cares.
He's just a nice guy.
He sent cares. Me one and I wrote slay, and so sometimes I'll get a slay back when I get 82-0.
I have also been corresponding with your boyfriend in a different
yes,
Olivia.
What correspondence have you been sending?
So we were at a birthday party together and I was talking with your boyfriend about having manic episodes and shopping. Which is something I tend to do. And he was like, you gotta send some of these examples to Olivia because she's really fucking wilding out. And I sent famous. Okay. So yeah, I was
okay.
So
also okay. Your boyfriend okay. Was, what does that mean?
Your boyfriend was also talking shit about you and wanted me to like scare straight you. And so I sent you and our other friend Olivia a picture of a sweatshirt.
Let's just sort of say that it's an ugly sweatshirt.
It's an ugly sweatshirt. It's ugly. It's like the ugliest fucking thing.
And it
like
haunts your life. State when you bought it.
Yes. And I was manic, and also I'm like a people pleaser and pushover. And so they were like, "Look at this sweatshirt. It's one of a kind."
By the way, I was getting live texts of this happening, and I had to be like, "Unfortunately, that is ugly." And that's one of the like kindest friend things I think I've ever
wow.
done.
That's crazy because I'm Wait, so but, pro ugly clothes.
No. No, but this is not. You'll see it. It's, but finish the. Yeah,
okay.
It looks
now
like
I'm out.
It
now
looks
I'm
like
out.
You got it at a swim meet.
Yes. I'm out for those reasons.
But tell everyone how much it costs.
How much did it cost?
200?
No, 200 would be so much better. Try double.
$400?
$400.
Girl!
Swim meet sweatshirt.
Swim meet ass.
Oh my God.
And I remember, like, you know, when you buy something that is bad and, like, off
and
on
as
your
you're
way,
doing it. as they're swiping the card, you're like, I've made a huge mistake.
Yes.
But these charismatic gay guys can't know that I'm poor. So yeah. I have to just find $400 to pay off my credit card bill. I've definitely
done that before.
That's what I'm saying. You're going to regret it. Look into your future.
The thing is, though, like I like to shop when I'm feeling anxious or accomplished. And those are when I have highs and lows.
And those are sort of my only two. My breaks from being anxious are when I'm accomplished.
And I what I've been doing to help with that is going Depop, because everything's really cheap on Depop. Mm. So I'm like, okay, yes, I didn't maybe need this thing, but it was $20 and I'll be fine. Where I used to like go off on like a nice pair of pants that was like $500. I used to do that more. Now I'm really reining it in.
Well, I also think there's a lot of like I sort of experienced the thing that happened to you with the gay guys, in that I was in London and Jared Goldstein, friend in real life, he'll do the pod eventually if we can fucking wrangle him.
Jared can get you to buy a lot of stuff.
But Jared gets you to buy a lot of stuff.
Gays are dangerous.
They are dangerous.
So I was in London and I texted Jared and I was like, which Vivian Westwood store should I go to? And he told me and I went, and he didn't tell me that the people there were going to pretty woman my ass.
Yeah,
I walked in and they looked at me like, you can't afford this store.
Wow.
And sort of just because of that, I bought a $400 necklace.
Yes, dude.
But I bet it's really nice.
It is really nice, but I was just like, I need these people to think, like, they looked at me like I didn't know where I was and I came in by mistake.
Yeah.
And I had to start being like, oh, how much are those shoes? Maybe I won't get them because I already have them in red.
Mm-hmm.
To be do you guys get it?
What do you think about that?
I belong here.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm wearing Abercrombie jeans. Don't look at me.
You have like croissant crumbs.
No, I literally was wet from rain. Yes, I was just like tracking mud into this beautiful store.
Dude,
and like, nothing in here is my size, but I can buy a fucking necklace. So back off my dick.
Oh my God, I have a Vivian Westwood story as well.
Was I there?
No, this was with Dan Dosimo.
Oh yeah.
This was when the group chat started doing number three.
Yeah.
So went to Vivian Westwood with the intention of do you need
whatever,
a fan?
It's okay.
Fan break. So I went to Vivian Westwood with the intention of buying a specific dress for a specific taping, and I was ready to splurge. And I like saw it online, and I was really locked in. And we went to the store in Manhattan because I saw they had the dress there.
Mm-hmm.
And then we had to wait in line. So I was a little frustrated because there was a line, and there was a bunch of like people in there from Ohio just sort of taking pictures with purses.
People with
and
Ohio
I was like,
in Ohio are always in line at these fucking designers.
Like, why are you taking pictures with these purses? I'm on a mission. I need to buy this dress and get the fuck out of Manhattan.
Yeah.
So I was already like kind of anxious, like waiting by the door. And we started joking around with the security guard, and I kept like putting my face up to the glass, like, let me in. And he would laugh.
That's
and it
fun.
Was fun.
Mm-hmm.
And then eventually I got in, and the guy, I was like, beeline to his dress, and I was like, I need this in a size, whatever. And he was like, what you're holding right now is the biggest size. And I was like, oh, that won't fit me. And he was like, I think that it will. And I was like,
bitch.
Oh. And I was like, oh, okay, I guess maybe I'm like, their sizes are really small because it's like a luxury brand. Or like maybe I was like, maybe I'm like bigger than I thought. Then I went to the green room, not the green room, what's it called?
Changing room.
And I put it on, it was huge. And I was like, I think I need a different size. And he gave me one down. And he kept doing that like four times in a row. No, and then I finally came out in the right size. He went, oh, I'm sorry. I thought that you were bigger with your coat on. You're actually really thin and beautiful. And
amazing.
Then he started actually paying attention to me and like bringing dresses.
Dude,
and I was like, I gotta get out of here. I gotta go. And I didn't buy anything.
Yeah. Like, I thought you were a pig, so I was treating you as such.
Also, like,
I thought you were a normal sized woman, so I was treating you like a pig.
Also, like, that's such a straight guy thing to do, assume that my body is my sweatshirt.
I know.
Yes, dude.
That this is my body.
Yeah.
Just the way my shirt falls. That is the truth.
Yeah, I'm a big square. I've always been a big square.
Yeah. And it was just so like, okay, well, now like I know you're a bad person. I don't want to buy stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I went to Balenciaga in LA, similar thing. And they all just, I was sweating and my stomach hurt. And I was like, I'm going to have diarrhea in Balenciaga and like have to buy a $5,000 purse to get over that.
I mean, you do have to buy something if you have diarrhea.
Yeah, no, you really do.
You have to have something to poop in.
Just so that people think you're having like sort of a glamorous diarrhea, like a cocaine Americano diarrhea.
Not a beer diarrhea.
Not a tuna salad diarrhea.
it was a tuna salad diarrhea,
oh,
and
no.
They all fucking knew it.
Wait, did you take a diarrhea in the bathroom?
Yes.
Oh my God. Crazy. That's really so bad. Crazy. And I would have left immediately.
But it's also kind of strong.
You're right. You're brave.
Brave.
What you did was kind of strong. Yeah.
And go, I'm getting diarrhea in here and you can't fucking stop me.
Do you think
me.
It smelled? Like people could smell it?
Yeah, probably. Damn. They were probably like security. They probably hit the lab mic being like the diarrhea girl's loitering around everything that
the
won't
diarrhea
fit her.
Girl's touching stuff with her hands.
Yes, dude. And yeah, I asked for if I was like, do you have this in my size? And he'd like look at the when the iPad comes out, I'm like, get the fuck out of here.
When they're like, I can check the back. Yes. And you're like, I know it's not in the back. Get out of my face, actually.
Yeah. What does
I
don't the like, iPad mean?
Like they're like checking the like deep inventory.
The warehouse if they have anything.
But really they're just like texting their friend, being like pig in store.
Yeah. Tall putties.
Diarrhea pig.
Diarrhea pig in store.
And then of course I went to the jewelry being like, yeah. Fine.
Fine.
Yeah. I'm going to the ring section.
Yeah. No, I was in such a state. I almost bought a Vivienne Westwood bolo tie, and it's like,
oh
what are,
my
it's
god!
It's like you have to lock in, bitch. Where are you going to wear this?
Wait, no,
what
no, that's doing? Amazing.
I know, but what am I going to do with it? Wear
whatever
it?
Whatever the hell you want. Whatever.
But I did
the
get
it,
like
want.
A beautiful necklace that I'll.
What
never,
kind of necklace?
It's the like the you know the broken pearl chain.
Wait, I think I have that one.
Oh my god!
I think Nick got that for me for Christmas.
Aww. Eli got me a Vivienne Westwood necklace for Christmas from eBay. And if somebody is going to like fucking come at us and tell us that this conversation is out of touch, just know this is a conversation about us being bad with money.
Right.
Not
thank
being
you.
Able to afford
it. It's not
oh,
a yeah,
totally.
Thing I'm doing.
But, we don't have money.
But
so then you should spend it.
Exactly.
Who cares?
It's going to come back
and also
eventually.
The world is ending. What are you going to buy a house?
That's what I'm saying.
And well, also New York is really pro. Like you're like, I want to walk around the street wearing that. And yeah. That's worth it to me.
But yeah. I was going to say when you find something that you've like always really wanted on sale. And in your size, that's fucking crack cocaine.
You gotta get
yes.
that.
That's I found a Ghani dress. There was one in my size on a website for $150. And like, I haven't worn it. I don't have a place to wear it. But you better believe it's hanging on the outside of my closet and I look at it every day and I go, I did it.
I'm a girl.
I did it. I found like, it. And I live in Manhattan, so I would when I would Uber home, I would pass the Ghani store on Fifth Avenue and I would see this dress in the window on the mannequin. Wow. And now it's in my house and I got it for $150. And I see that every day and I go, you can do anything, bitch.
Yes.
You can do anything.
It's like hunter gathering for ladies. Yeah.
I have a theory that shopping is because you can't really get raped when you're shopping.
Interesting.
Well, you can get raped anywhere.
Yeah.
I haven't heard people getting like raped at Vivienne Westwood.
Yeah.
Well, I haven't heard of anyone getting
Donald
raped
Trump
at the Gucci
raped
store.
Lady in Bergdorf's, I
and
think.
And where?
Bergdorf's. Donald Trump raped that lady in Bergdorf's, I think.
You're telling me I could get raped shopping?
Yeah.
Well, the thing is, the clothes will never rape you.
Yes.
That's true.
The clothes
true.
Will
only
never rape you.
Financially.
Yeah. Only financially. The clothes won't hurt you.
Yes.
And that's something that only objects can give us.
And it is like a place for sort of girls and gays to commune. And we're in charge there. Like if a boyfriend is in the store, he's on the couch minding his business, behaving himself, looking
Wait,
at his
really
phone.
True.
And if he has
yeah.
a bad attitude,
it's
like
where
a big
we're
problem.
In charge.
It's our domain.
Yeah.
Or you're
and
there with your really mom fun. And she's you come
and
out
she's
and she's
in charge,
goes,
bitch.
She yeah, goes, she's in
and
charge.
She's in charge.
That
bitch.
Doesn't really flatter you.
One
I
of the things
sorry, thank you.
What I think often about how if I do get married, I haven't shopped with my mom in, I don't know, 20 years.
A long yeah. time.
And you have to, all of a sudden you're engaged, so you have to shop with your mom.
Oh, yeah.
That's so unfair.
It's really embarrassing, too.
I have to put on a dress in front of my mom.
I also stopped asking my mom for clothing advice a
no,
long
you can't.
Time ago.
Oh, you can't.
Like a long time ago.
I don't think there's anything on the world my mom hates more than the way I dress.
Oh, same.
And my mom hates a lot of stuff, but the way I dress, I think, is number one.
And your tattoo's number two.
Well, the yes. I'm like sort of including my general aesthetic is my the bane of my mother's existence.
And your career number
and my
three.
Career and personality and the stuff I say and the things I think. But that's like 3, 4, 5, 6.
Yeah, yeah.
No, just kidding. We're great.
My
We're
mom
great.
Likes my style. She just
mom
likes,
love ya.
I couldn't. My mom likes my style,
she'll never
and
listen.
She's always told me like I have my own style and to follow what you like. But
that's
she
nice.
Would always be honest with me that she didn't like it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or something, but then she's like, when I see it on you, it makes sense, but I don't like that shirt. And I think
yeah.
it's ugly.
Yeah.
You also are an alti girl who knows how to put ugly shit together to be cool.
We're putting ugly shit together.
But sometimes your mom sees just the ugly thing.
She just 100%. Sees the ugly thing and she doesn't see really what this means, which is I'm being ironic and wearing ugly clothes.
Yes, there's an art form to wearing fugly shit and making it beautiful, and like the chemistry of how you put it together.
Yeah, totally.
It really is a fucking skill set that only fashion girlies can do.
Yeah,
you know,
you got to know the rules to break them.
Hey.
Literally.
Buying jeans with your mom, though. Do you guys remember that?
Oh yeah, that was really
no.
Hard.
Actually,
dude,
don't even
hard.
Bring this up to my
that
face.
That was really traumatizing.
Respectfully, nothing buying is, jeans with your mom.
Nothing is sweaty. You're in more stressful than buying jeans with your mom, except maybe buying your first bra with your mom, which
is
like akin to being molested.
Yes. It's right next door to it.
It's like it lives in the same cul-de-sac as being molested.
We actually had these guys that lived in our cul-de-sac, speaking of cul-de-sac, that were really hot and they owned like a jean place.
Whoa.
And all the
hot
jeans,
guys own jean place. That's so scary.
Yeah, it's like it was very sexy to me that they owned this jean
of
place.
Of course.
And they were named, the jeans were named after them.
Oh my
and we
God.
Would like,
are these straight guys?
Yes.
Like Ryan
Whoa, this
jeans.
Is so scary.
I mean, it's their dad that owns the place. Yeah. So it's not like they were like in high school owning the jean place, but it was still cool that their names were
no,
on the
it
jeans.
Is cool.
Yeah. And I remember like we would go there to shop for jeans, just being like, I look terrible in this. This would never be like a Cole jean. Like Cole would never.
Oh my God, these straight guys were like monopolizing women's eating disorders in their high school. That's
cool. Too much power
for
a high
school. And then
like
the girls' pants were named after like a different family that owned the company. I was like, who the fuck is Sarah?
This is so nepo.
And why isn't
it
Olivia?
Yeah. That's so weird.
It was really weird, but it's like really in my head.
The lore around a certain boy in your high school is always, there's always like one boy that you're like, his dad owns the grocery store. He's so cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jared.
You know.
Hey, shout out Jared. He's bald now.
Shout
out
Jared.
Well, my friend dated the guy whose parents owned the grocery store.
That's
and he was a
cool.
dick.
Oh, yeah. There's a guy whose parents owned a restaurant, and I think that he hit his wife or something.
Yeah.
Most likely.
They think because their parents own a grocery store, they can hit
and they're right, unfortunately.
I remember I was talking to that guy once, and I thought, like, remember, like, there was an era when you were children where it was cool to be rich, but now we live in New York City, so it's like not.
Yes.
But people would like sort of compete to
That's
see whose family
now,
was
the
richest.
Thing. Yeah.
And I remember we were talking about like his grandpa owned this chain of grocery stores, and my friend was like, well, Lizzie's grandpa's rich too. And I go, this is so embarrassing. I go, yeah, my grandpa's so rich, he has 2 iPads and he doesn't even use them.
Yes,
and then
he goes,
get him. He goes, my grandpa has 6 houses. And I was like, totally, no worries, actually.
He got your ass.
No problem. How about you pay for my Gatorade?
Were you guys around, your jeans era, you're a little younger than I am, were you guys around for Miss 60s?
Mm-mm.
Was that a thing? That also might be a
Canadian
thing.
That might be
Canadian. Thing. There was low-rise jeans. Remember, like, low-rise fucking
really tight?
Tight.
Yeah, just, like, the worst thing to ever happen
yes.
to a young
and
woman.
And they had seams on them that were, like, in a cool line. And then just my body had, like, seam marks. And I was, like, crying trying to put
jeans
them on.
Jeans were worse back then.
Oh,
they're
so
way
bad.
Better now.
Yeah.
Jeans are way better. Jeans used to be, like, really evil. And elitist.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Now jeans are, like,
and
for the people.
Exclusionary.
Yeah.
They had to invent the jegging.
I mean,
jeans
the jegging changed everything.
Elitist that jegging. They had to invent the
when
jegging.
When we gave up and made the jegging, that's when everything changed.
Everything changed.
There's before jegging, after
and
jegging.
And after jegging.
Before 9/11, before jegging.
Now our jeans are basically sweatpants.
Yes.
Like, this is a giant sweatpants.
Yeah.
Beautiful thing.
It is beautiful.
They've put jegging technology into regular jeans now. Thank God.
Thank God.
Thank God.
And I know that, like, the nice jeans are apparently, like, deeply uncomfortable.
The raw denim.
And it's like, well, you know what? Fuck you.
Yeah,
walk
I can't afford those anyway, bitch.
Yeah, it looks bad.
Yeah.
Actually, I don't know if it looks bad, but
no, I think it probably looks good.
It looks really good.
It looks good.
It usually looks good.
But it probably
good.
Feels really bad.
Yeah. It does. Shout out Japanese denim.
Shout out Japanese denim.
I do love, I've been, because of the fact that it's the NBA finals, I've been watching a lot of TikToks of NBA wives getting dressed. And they'll be like, obviously I'm wearing my Balenciaga jeans that I always wear. And I'm like, those are cool. They look exactly like the ones I have from H&M.
Yeah.
Right.
And that feels good.
Because, like, who really knows where your jeans are kind of an elusive thing to me where it doesn't really matter where they're from.
Same, yeah.
If they, like, look good on you and they fit well, like, that's the perfect
That's
jean.
The whole thing.
That's the whole thing.
Yeah.
But I don't know, maybe, like, if you are buying nice jeans, it's more just like knowing this is my $1,000 pair of jeans.
Yeah, and I think they like don't change. Like yeah. My jeans change. My jeans stretch and shrink and grow and change with the wind.
They evolve with the times.
Yeah. You yeah. like wear them 3 times and you're like, so that's 4 sizes too big now. And then you wash yes. them once and you're like, those will never get over my yes. ass.
Yeah.
I'm
that's
guessing
true.
The good jeans are sort of that's what they are.
I don't think they change. Yeah.
I do kind of like, now that I'm thinking about it, like, wear jeans for a year, then I say goodbye to them usually. Yes, it's rare that they stick around. I'm more into like a trouser pant, I feel like will last a yeah. long time.
Yeah.
Or something like that.
An investment piece, some would say.
Yeah.
Like a $400 like tie dye.
Yeah, something like
evil
that.
Evil eye sweater.
Yeah, yeah, an investment piece.
An investment
yeah.
piece. In your future okay. as a drug addict. Oh, it's really hard. The time I got roped into buying something really expensive, it was like $600 shoes that I did end up wearing on the Tonight Show, which feels like it was worth it.
Worth
but
it.
At the yeah. time, I didn't know I was doing the Tonight Show. It was 3 years before. And I like thought that they were...
That's
they
called
were
manifesting, bitch.
Manifesting.
Yeah.
I thought that they were $88 because it was like a size... It was a European size or something, or I don't know, maybe it was 66 or something.
Yeah.
And so I was like, oh yeah, I'm definitely getting these. And I was like, wearing them around the whole store, talking to all the girls about how cute they are. Yeah. They're like, yeah, they're amazing, one of a kind. I'm like, yeah, obviously I'm getting these shoes.
Yep.
And then I go to the checkout and they go, okay, $600. And I'm just like, well, I've made such a show about
you,
this.
Yeah, yeah. You know, you made
to
make
buy
a show.
Them. I can't. I made such a show. I have to buy them.
And they know that too. Like, you better believe in that Vivian Westwood story. They put the necklace on me. And now
oh,
I'm wearing
did
it.
Did they pull your hair up and
yeah.
stuff? Wow, that's amazing.
And now it's on me and I can't be like, take it off. I don't have the money.
Yeah.
And then they told me what it was in pounds. And it's like, girl, I don't even know what that is.
No. Does it sound
I bought
less
so
expensive?
Much, yes. I bought so much shit in London in pounds that I like then... took out my phone and looked up the conversion and I was like, yoinks,
not
that
my
sucks.
All yeah. worth it.
I bought my boyfriend a coat. He's never cared about a piece of clothing in his entire life.
Does he care about the coat?
Yeah, he likes the coat, but if he knew how much it was, he'd throw up.
Yeah, that one's for you.
Dude,
yeah.
Just bankrupt yourself. Who cares?
But
we're all
like
going to die.
Cool, the guy, it was like a cool vintage store. And the guy was cool. And he was like, you can't get this in the U.S. And I was like, I doubt that. But I like your fucking vibe.
Yeah.
And then I bought the coat and I wore it. I was like running late. So I just grabbed it and wore it. And all my friends were like, you smell like thrift store. And I was like, I know.
Yeah.
I know.
It's hard when you're traveling too. Because you're like, I got this in Madrid.
Yeah, I got this in London.
Like Nick and I bought so much shit when we went to Spain. And yeah. I honestly don't wear... almost any of it.
I know. I have a purse over there that I bought in Amsterdam, and it's like sort of the whole thing is that I bought it in Amsterdam.
You're like, this is my Amsterdam purse. Yeah.
This might be the whitest woman episode we've ever done. I
yeah.
love
that's
it.
That's just fucking
I know. I was like, we have been talking about clothes for a long time, but to me, it is riveting.
Bitches you know be what? Shopping, and it's true.
Bitches
it's
be
great,
shopping. We'd be avoiding rape.
Their lifestyle yeah. can go up, but it can never go down, okay?
Well,
right. Chris Rock was right about some things.
Yeah.
Yeah. And sorry about to his wife that he cheated so much.
He cheated on his wife a lot.
Oh, yeah.
I get that guy. Yeah. He is
I met
out
that
of
guy
it.
Too.
Yeah.
I met that guy too. He was really confusing to talk to.
Yeah, for sure.
I saw him. Like, he was like a really tough hang.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't, and I mean, I was being weird, obviously, because I was 19 and obsessed with stand up comedy, and he was Chris Rock. So I was being like, you know, but then he was sort of like, stop doing that. And I was like, totally, you're confusing me. I'll leave you alone.
I saw him throw someone's cell phone at the Comedy Cellar.
That's sick.
It was Whoa. Amazing. Yeah. It
Wait,
was so
I was
cool.
talking about this the other night. Okay. No. Have you? You're gonna say no. Have you guys ever been so mad at the person you're dating that you break your own phone?
No, yes. But I would.
Yes.
Twice. Someone I dated made me so mad, the person you're thinking of,
yeah.
you
made me so mad
that
I threw my own phone at
I've
the wall.
I've done that, yep.
Because it's what's in your hand.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean?
And
it was in my hand.
Phone.
And it's
the
like...
the gravity of breaking the phone.
It's both literally and metaphorically weighty,
yeah.
you know?
Wait, yep. are you throwing it because of a text message you received
no.
or a phone call?
With we're
in,
fighting,
yeah.
and
it's in my
it.
Hand, and I throw the phone at the wall.
Wow.
Yeah, there's
Twice?
Girls who throw the phone, and there's girls who do not throw the phone.
And I no longer throw the phone.
Girls who throw the phone.
But
I haven't thrown the phone.
Historically thrown the phone.
I've been really mad and like really yelled and like really did some crazy stuff, but I didn't do anything like violent or actually aggressive.
Yeah.
But I have yelled before.
I was talking to a group of like normal brained people about this last night, and they all kind of looked at me horrified. And I was like,
"No, I understand."
I was like, "How about you? How about you try loving something so much that it kills you? You throw your phone at the wall."
Have you ever been with a person who both of your shared trauma creates a storm so crazy
that you have to break your
phone? You have to break your phone.
Oh my god! So okay, so that would be like that was sort of my big move is I would smash my phone against the wall.
and then you have to go get your phone fixed.
Right. And then ultimately I do have to get my phone fixed. But one of the times I did it, I did it twice. So this was the second time. So I sort of knew the drill. I was right. I was like, you throw the phone. I know where the walkable distance Verizon store is. I go there.
Do you have insurance?
I say I dropped it.
Yeah.
And then I get a new phone. So
we do like a crime investigation. Well, it was at an angle.
The ballistics
tell us that you did this to yourself.
I've met your boyfriend. I know you threw the phone.
So I threw the phone once and I sort of got away with it because I had an upgrade. And so I was like, nothing can touch me. Nothing can hurt me.
No, when you have an upgrade.
And so the second time I threw the phone, I was like, obviously I'll just walk to the Verizon store once again. And I didn't realize that it was like some sort of version of Memorial Day or Labor Day or Veterans Day, you know, like one of those things. So
one
the
of those nothing holiday.
Yeah, one yeah. of those fucking
a holiday that doesn't apply to me because I've never had a real job. Yeah. So I like forget about them.
/ I don't believe in the American war machine.
So I had to walk. I walked to the Verizon store and it was closed because it was a holiday.
Yeah.
And now I'm just in Queens without a phone.
Sitting in your diaper with what you did.
And my big plan is ruined.
Did you cry?
But next door was an open T-Mobile store. And I walked in and I was like, hey, I don't have a phone. Can you help me? Can I use your phone? And it was very much like water everywhere, not a drop to drink. I was surrounded by phones, but no one would let me borrow one.
Yeah.
And they were like, well, you're not a T-Mobile customer. And I was like, I know. I'm not really talking to you as a T-Mobile employee. I'm talking to you as a human being. This is the only store open.
Like, just, we do not understand
it's
that.
Just like, it's just an ironic sort of
yes.
situation where it is a phone store, but you're not understanding that I'm not asking you to give me a phone. I'm asking you to Google where's Best Buy so that I can get on a bus and go get a phone.
Damn.
And it was just this weird thing where they were like, we don't have a phone for you to use. And I was like, that can't be true. There's literally phones all around me. And eventually they did have to find a Best Buy for me. And then I had to wait in Queens for a yellow cab to come by and haul ass to Best Buy. And then I was crying at a Best Buy. And I was
like, oh my God, I'd be crying at Best Buys.
And you're like, maybe I should break up with this guy. And then you're like, no,
that didn't happen
for
like
six more months.
Yeah, two.
Is it with the same guy that you broke the phone? It's the same guy you broke the phone with twice.
Yeah.
Wow.
Both times in his room.
Yeah.
Hammered drunk.
Yeah.
Both times in his room, hammered drunk. He was probably playing a video game.
Sure. And barely paying attention.
And I just sort of threw my phone at the wall.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah,
I've been like that mad at someone, but it's always been like a conversation over the phone. So yeah. There was no moment for me
phone.
To be violent.
Yeah,
because it would only affect myself.
Yeah,
yeah. Also, yeah. Some would argue it only affected us.
Yeah,
as well.
No, Lizzie, I don't think he cared.
What Lizzie
that I
did mattered.
Phone.
Yeah, it does.
It mattered.
It was performance
and it
art.
Changed the course of the relationship.
Phone breaker is a butterfly effect. She broke the phone, and today she's in a beautiful, happy relationship.
Yeah,
yes.
And one led to another. I also saw
you got to crack a few phones to make an omelet.
Yeah, shatter a glass ceiling.
Yeah,
the first time I saw Chris Rock, he threw someone's phone because they were taking a picture of him at the comedy cellar, which I'm kind of like diva. I kind of side with you on
crazy.
That one.
Yeah.
But the second time I saw Chris Rock or met him was during COVID, and I was performing one of those like weird rooftop shows. And the guy, the booker, this was affiliated with New York Comedy Club, was like, hey, I was hosting, and he was like, hey, Chris Rock is going to show up. We don't really know when, but like the minute he shows up, get him on stage, light the comic, because he was preparing for his late night set. And so I was just like standing there during a global health crisis being like, at one point in time, Chris Rock will show up and I'm going to have to light the comic at like 1 minute.
Yeah.
And I did have to.
Oh,
it was so
whatever.
Bad. But then also I was like, it was the night Trump got COVID. So I'm sitting on a rooftop. I'm hosting a show with Chris Rock on it. everyone's dead and in a body truck. And I'm like, am I on fucking acid right now?
Yeah, I've actually been meaning to tell you none of this ever happened.
God damn it.
COVID didn't happen. I gave you mushrooms.
Yes. You actually, like, you stared at your shirt too long that you're right. Went to state.
Crazy pattern.
You went into the evil eye of your $400 sweatshirt.
Yes. Yeah, that never happened.
You know you have to up your meds when you're performing on a roof alone, yeah. pretending Chris Rock is there. But it's like...
you're just in your underwear on a roof alone, being like, doing the sort of intro where you're like, yeah. this is why you see live comedy in New York City. Ladies and gentlemen, the one and only
Chris Rock.
You in a diaper on the roof. Original boobs.
It did feel like that because at one point, like Chris Rock, like all these famous people, you know their voice, obviously, yeah. from like TV and all that shit. But when you hear it in real life, you're like, whoa, the like TV voice is right there.
No, it
there.
Does something, yeah.
It's fucking crazy. Yeah. And it was like reverbing
it feels like
off
Hollywood.
The buildings.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then after the set, he was like, do you guys have any questions? Do you guys want to ask me anything? He did like an open like discussion. And one lady was like, what was Prince like? And I'm like, this is fucking crazy.
That's crazy.
No. And he was like, Prince is a person, like, usually when you're a celebrity and you become friends with other celebrities, they become, like, more normal to you once you're, like, regular style friends. And he was like, Prince became scarier and I was more intimidated by him the more I knew him. And then he was like, Prince had this party at his house and, you know, like, crazy party, models, drugs, all the shit you would expect. And then he made the party stop. He was like, everyone shut up, everyone be silent, turn off the music. And he called his wife and was like, hi honey,
whoa.
Just hanging out with like the boys, like casual night. And then finished the phone call and party started again.
Wow.
And I was like, okay, Chris Rock just told a story about Prince. The president has COVID. I'm naked in a diaper on a roof. Nothing is real. I'm wearing a $400 sweatshirt with an evil eye.
Yeah,
on
I guess
it.
Chris Rock was kind of like.
What if Chris Rock was like cool sweatshirt?
Can I? He like gives you a hug.
Yeah,
he's like, the funniest comic I've seen.
He's like, who is this girl? I love her sweatshirt.
I opened for him. I get him a sweatshirt. We did a sweatshirt tour together.
Chris Rock is like 9/11. It's like, where were you when you met him?
Yeah, totally. Yeah, everybody sort of has their
Chris Rock moment.
And where were you when he got slapped?
Right.
Oh my god.
Oh my god. The slap.
They told us for the Netflix show
no
one
slap.
Mentioned the slap.
Oh really?
I'm like, yeah. Which one of it? Why would we ever mention that?
It's also hack at this point
it's
to mention the slap.
Fuck.
Not that I know I just did it, but it's a podcast.
Yeah. But you think he's gonna give us notes on live like television, and then we're gonna be like, and hey, when are you gonna come up here and slap me?
Right.
I mean,
like,
great
that would be
moment.
Kind of awesome.
Viral moment.
That'd be kind of awesome.
Yeah. Like, I would have to.
Bitches be talking more like bitches be slapping.
Imagine if Chris Rock was like, I didn't really get that one punchline, and you just walked over and slapped him square.
It would be so funny.
Like, I was like, I would have to be so scrapped and like had bombed so bad
yeah.
and already been underneath the barrel of whatever that my set was to do that.
Yeah,
oh, it would be so cool.
All the
though.
Things that would
you'd
have to
have
go
nothing
wrong.
To lose.
Yes.
I would have to have literally nothing to lose. I would have to have accidentally flashed the audience at that point.
Pussy
and
out.
like your booger fell out.
Yeah.
Just be like, all right, you know, I'm slapping Chris.
Yeah,
Rock. Let's go.
By the way, so Olivia's obviously alluding to the fact that you were just on Funny AF. Congratulations.
On Netflix.
Such a... Yes. Ooh. Oh, this?
Yeah.
Oh, thank you. Thanks, Quincy. Shout out.
I got scared.
Me too.
And
thought we weren't getting the footage again.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, what's happening?
Which you were so... unbelievably good on that show.
Thanks,
congratulations.
Queen.
It
thanks,
was
queen.
Amazing. And one of my favorite moments was when you said faggot on live TV in a woke way. How scared were you to do that?
I thought of the joke and then I spent like 3 months trying to figure out if I wanted to say the joke.
Yeah.
And I asked a lot of my gay friends and like everyone was like, say the joke.
Yeah.
And then the show told me I couldn't do the joke. And then I like called a producer and like begged to do the joke and like begged to be the one that does the joke, and then they cut everyone else's jokes about Kevin Hart being homophobic and I got to do the jokes. Yeah, it was crazy though.
That's cool.
It was crazy though. I'm glad that I fought for it because I feel like in your career you're told to just do whatever they say.
Yeah,
and it like was the one time I just didn't. I didn't even think about doing what they said. Like it was just like just was naturally like, oh, I'm gonna ask them to do it, and I'm like, wow, I've never done that.
That's
I've never
great.
Like pushed back against someone of authority in this career telling me what to do, and I actually think they appreciated that I did that. And I think like the joke was like a big part of the show.
Yeah.
It was
huge. Well, that's what I was going to say. Like, when it comes to stand up, we actually know more about it than a lot of industry people do.
Totally.
Yeah. And so you know what that joke is going to do in that room. And yeah. they're only thinking about it from the like producer side of it, which is their job.
Yeah.
Their job is to be like, maybe we can get in trouble for this. Maybe we can't say it on the, or whatever, or maybe this person will get offended or whatever. That's their job. But your job is to be like, I know what stand up is. I know how it works. I'm the authority on this.
Yeah.
Were you shitting at the idea of like taking the risk to say it and then it not going over well?
I think once I decided to do it, I kind of forgot about it because it was like, crazy. We had so much to do.
Yeah.
And then like once I was standing up there and I was about to say it, I was like, oh fuck, like I'm about to, I didn't really like mentally prepare myself. And then I did it and it like went great. And I'm glad I did it. And there really wasn't any pushback on it at all. Like from anybody really.
Other comics, like, I remember I got like so many Funny AF was like such a cool thing and like comedians loved watching it. I feel like it was done so well and everyone was like so, it was a great casting. It was like really a cool thing for the comedy community. But I remember a lot of people were texting me like, what do you think about the F-bomb? And I was like, and in like a way where people were like super impressed, but also like, whoa, this is like crazy. And I feel like the general opinion is that the like right wing kill Tony fucking losers have been saying slurs in like the derogatory shitty fucking way and being like, oh, these snowflakes on the left like don't get it and can't even like do like say jokes that are edgy because they're like pussies. And you wrote a joke that is like both hilarious, uses a slur, but is clearly on the side of like the group. Gay and I was people. Like, this shows that we absolutely can fucking like go there in a way that's smart and funny. You guys do it, but it's just not smart and funny. We're out here fucking doing it too. And I was like, this is a victory for the pussies of New York mm-hmm. City.
Let's go, pussies.
The pussies and the gays. It yeah. was huge. Yeah. I was like super impressed and
thanks, queen.
And proud.
Thanks,
guys. Yeah, that was there. Cool.
Yeah.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it'll be it's like I think that I wasn't intending for it to be like a huge thing, but I was like, I mean, this is the joke that I wrote and like I have to say it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So fucking. And I think it really has given me kind of a career.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah.
Which is cool. I just didn't think that could happen anymore, that you could like
yeah.
actually like I thought you had to like blow up on TikTok. Yeah. Like I didn't think the industry could help you at all anymore. And it's kind of inspiring that other things can now. Like stand up is back in the conversation, people are watching it. It's like becoming like mainstream again and in an intelligent way.
Yeah.
And I thought it was really cool. I hope they do like more
seasons
or like similar shows like it
because
like we lost Last Comic Standing and like all of these things and now it's truly just Kill Tony is like the biggest stand-up show.
Yeah, this is the anti-Kill Tony, this is the anti-Venom for Kill Tony.
Yeah, honestly.
Yeah.
Putting even people who have actually been doing stand-up for many years on TV and letting them do it the way that they do it and putting it on Netflix, so it's not like, I mean, it's like so sick to do the Tonight Show, but you have to say things that you can say on network TV.
Yeah. And also,
and for a lot of comics, that's just not the way they do stand up, you know? And so to have something where it's like uncensored, you can do the kind of stand up that you do. And like, even if it doesn't go over, like, and yours did, but even if it doesn't go over on the show, people who like what you do have seen it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Totally.
And it's like, it's a totally different thing than having to be like, this is the way I would do it if I were on TV.
You know?
Yeah, and I think like comedy's changed so much. It's like I feel like you used to do the Tonight Show, and then you were a comedian.
Famous,
yeah.
Where it's not really like that anymore.
No.
So I think I personally was feeling lost with like, can the industry give you anything? And like, I was getting all these like big credits, and nothing was happening, mm-hmm. like following wise. Mm-hmm. And I was like, do I just need to like post reels until I die? Like, I have
do
no fucking
idea. Front-facing dumbass videos and like kill yourself all the time.
So it's cool that like, even though I hope there's more outlets for like comedians being showcased that isn't mm-hmm. just this show, like it's cool that it can be done.
Yeah.
Was there any drama on the show between comics or with the host?
I mean, there's kind of drama, but it was like all really understandable. Like I feel like every time we got cut, it was like really emotional.
Sure.
Because it was just like, it was just so overwhelming. But everyone always understood because we were doing something really stressful.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, like we all supported each other, like the comics, because we were all doing the same thing that was really hard. And it really, we really weren't thinking about like the competition because we were all just stressed about our own thing.
Totally.
And like, I don't think there's really any drama between, I mean, at the end of the day, we all like just wanted everyone to do well. Yeah. And like, yeah, no one wanted to watch someone bomb.
Yeah.
And like when if someone did, it felt terrible.
Totally.
That's nice. Yeah. That's like nice that, because I was watching, there was one kind of like notable quote unquote bomb, I would say. And I was watching it like, my body was like churning on the inside thinking about, as a comedian watching that show, thinking about how that must feel. Yeah. I was like,
yeah,
oh my God.
Yeah, no one wanted that to happen. We also were all really like nervous because we didn't know what the show would be.
Yeah.
Because it's like, is this going to be like more of a reality show? And yeah, it's going to be like really petty and we're going to have like cuts of us that are edited weird.
Yeah.
And so I think we were all just kind of like nervous.
Yeah.
And like didn't really know what to say on camera. And like we were all just kind of, I don't know, everyone was like putting their toes in the pool really slowly.
That's good. I like that the comics were all, it seemed like the comics were all genuinely friends in the way that,
and if you think about everyone who did it, everyone who did the show kind of has their own thing going on anyways.
Yeah.
And it's like, everyone's been doing it for years. Like, I think everyone knew this isn't the only chance you're going to get.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, if it works out, it works out. Mm-hmm. I think by the time we got to the top six, it started to feel really competitive.
Damn, it must be crazy.
But in like a good way.
Yeah.
It was like, oh, cool, we could actually win. Like, it was like more exciting. Where in like the first few episodes, it was just like, whatever.
Yeah.
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 Were you sad after the elimination?
I think I was just really embarrassed because they had no like, I was just standing on stage and my parents were in the audience and like my family.
Yeah.
And it was just like, so embarrassed. It wasn't embarrassed. It was just like sad that, like, see them looking so disappointed.
Yeah.
And that knowing that millions of people were watching, it was like, that's a terrible
feeling. That's an insane life experience.
No, it was a life experience I also didn't prepare myself for because I didn't really think about the elimination at all. I was just like really anxious about doing a live set.
Yeah.
So I didn't think about what it would feel like to be eliminated live in front of millions of people.
Sure. That's fucking crazy.
And like just how uncomfortable it is to see other people celebrating when you're eliminated. You just have to stand there.
You're like you're like, I'm the loser that no one wants to ask to dance. Like that same.
And then they
ostracized.
Didn't say anything to us. Like, thank you so much for doing this. Like Kevin, like they didn't say anything to us, and then we just left. And it felt really bad.
Yeah,
I mean, and obviously, like we had this perspective of like this all went really well. Like we already got what we needed out of it. But in that moment, we both felt like absolute shit.
Yeah, I bet.
Sure.
Yeah, it was terrible. I think I just cried afterwards because I was just like so overwhelmed and like also relieved that it was over.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Yeah. It was just like, this was so stressful.
Yeah.
It's also the parent part of it. I didn't even think about that. Like, your parents are sad because they want you. They're like, she's been slighted. You know what I mean? They're not like, I'm disappointed. I mean, I don't know your parents, but they're not disappointed by you.
Yeah.
But
they like, I just like, they were wearing like shorts with my face on it. Aww. And like everyone was standing and they were sitting and it was just like, oh my God. Like, this is so like not a feeling that I ever like imagined in my head.
Yeah, sure.
And it's like not so much that they would be disappointed, but just like, oh, how amazing for them if they got to see me like win a Netflix special or something.
Yeah.
It was just like that feeling. It was truly terrible.
Yeah, I wrote
a little article about it and put it on Substack.
Check out the Substack and follow her. I mean, I know that you know this, but this certainly like launched and like drew your people in. Like, I feel like when I was watching the show, I was like, oh, there's people who can latch on to every type and style of comedian that's out there. And like, you have a very particular cool, you also was like on the younger end, you know, like cool young alt girl. And like people who want to see that are like, oh, there's my person. And
yeah, like everybody like, on the show had like people that hated them and loved them.
Yeah.
Really?
And it's like all random. Like, I'll get messages like, loved you and Usama, loved you and Caitlin, hated Usama, loved you. Like, everybody like had fans and people who hated you, which isn't good. But also like, if a bunch of people hate you, that means a bunch of people saw you.
Yeah.
It's really funny the way that people don't understand that comedians like hang out in real life. Or
I was like, I'm not actually competing with any of these people.
Or like, even if we're not like friends, we like know each other and see each other all the time. Like, even on like a very small scale, we've all gotten messages or talked to people after shows who are like, those other guys were not funny, but you were. And you're like, that's my best friend.
Yeah, you're like, what do you want me to say to that?
You're like, that's literally my best friend.
And the other person just standing like 4 feet away being like, yeah. Oh, no,
it's like, it's like a person who like really took a chance on you to let you open for them.
Yeah.
And someone thinks like the best compliment is to be like, you should have headlined, that guy wasn't funny.
And you're like, no, shut
your
mouth.
You're like, well, I owe him my life.
Keep your fucking mouth shut.
And if he hears you say that, I'll kill myself.
Oh my God, that's happening before. Like,
me too.
Someone in front of a headline. I was
it's
like,
always a
I'm
woman, and I'm opening for a man.
Yeah.
And she comes up to me and she's like, "You are so much funnier than him." And it's like, there's actually nothing I can say to you right now that makes me look right. good, and I need you to run away.
Yeah. It's
I
just
need
like,
you to go away.
You just have to go like this.
Yeah, you have to go, or you have to go, oh, no, he's been doing it much longer, or whatever. But it's like,
even
you
that,
just like,
it's like, you
yeah.
just have to be like, nope.
Yeah, yeah, you just like, no matter what, now you look and feel like an asshole.
Yeah, they think they're being girlies.
It's also,
yeah,
yeah. It's like, you can't even explain, like, I'm doing 20.
Right.
Right.
Right. I'm doing 20, and I'm like doing...
Trying my best.
I'm doing the absolute best I've ever done. This person is like doing an hour, trying to figure out what goes in the special. It's a much different job. It's like... a totally completely different monster, and you just have to be like, oh,
that's so nice.
I know, but they don't
I
understand.
Have diarrhea, I'm sorry.
And I know that they're
have to go to
Balenciaga and get diarrhea.
And
you know.
And that's the other thing, they are trying to be nice, so you can't be like, hey, that's not, you know, you have to be like, oh, know, it's just so
I
weird.
I think like when someone does that, like in the headliners listening, you have to abandon that person, and you have to go, no,
right.
I think you have to abandon them.
Yeah.
Just wander
you do.
Off.
Yeah. You do have to nope. abandon them. You have to go that you just aren't.
You have to go, I lost you as a fan because I'm going to shut you down.
And that's it. Yeah. And that's just it for me.
That's just it.
I got once, I did a podcast. I was like a guest on a podcast with someone else. It was like one host and two guests. And somebody sent me a message that was like, you and the other guests should have a podcast without the host because the host isn't funny. And I was like,
and you're like,
agreed. Well, I'm just not going to respond to that because that is my friend and untrue. That is an untrue thing to say. And that's my friend. So I'm not going to respond to the message. And then this person who definitely listens to this podcast, by the way, because they told me that in the message.
Cool.
Then this person sent me a screenshot that they had messaged the host.
Oh
that.
My God.
And the host responded and was like, oh, that's like not very nice. And this person sent me a screenshot and was like, guess they don't like me anymore.
Oh my God.
Like I was going to be like, hell yeah, sister.
Get
me and you. And it's like,
against
yeah, you're like
friend.
Talking shit to my friend.
Yeah.
And now you're like, yeah. you like in what universe am I going to take your a stranger's side over even if it's just my coworker, you
yeah.
know?
People take like not liking a comic. They really, when they don't like a comic, it's like personal. Like
yeah.
they do not
yeah.
like you as a person.
Yeah.
I forget that like when they see someone bomb, like it's not just that they don't think they're funny. It's like they hate them.
They hate
yes,
you.
They hate you
they
and
hate
your whole
you.
Personality.
They hate you and your whole personality.
It's so incredible. There have been a handful of times in my life where I've bombed in the way where it's like, you guys fucking hate me.
Oh, yeah.
You it's wish I was dead.
It's kind of funny.
A few weeks
well,
ago
it's kind
it
of,
had been so long since it happened.
It's
and
kind
like,
of liberating, though. Because
it's kind of hilarious.
If you're having like a medium bomb, you're like, there is something I could be doing differently
right.
to get them.
Yeah.
But when they hate your fucking guts, when they hate the core of your
and
being,
they pity you,
you're kind of free.
Pity. Yeah,
yeah,
true.
You're
true.
Kind of free.
It's
and
crazy.
You can be like, and you can be like, you know what? I have said to audiences, I've been like, this is who I am for the rest of the show.
Yeah.
And it's not going to change. So we're all going to have a bad time.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
we just are having a bad time together. This venue booked the wrong person and you guys came to the wrong thing and I'm not the guy for you. And that's just what it is. And I'm sorry, but that's what I can't.
It's really
I can't
funny
go
when
backstage, grow a penis and be different.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's so funny when you just look into an audience and like, you know when you, like, for 10, 15 minutes, you're getting nothing?
Oh, yeah.
It's kind of hilarious.
It's
like,
kind of hilarious.
You, like, leave your body, and you're like, this is actually really
I'll
funny.
I'll just start laughing, because I'm like, it's so funny, like, how miserable you guys are, and, like, how meaningless
and how you
this
paid
is.
To come have fun.
Yes, and you hate
and,
me.
And this is a silly, goofy thing you came to, and you've decided to be miserable and hate me. I was doing a taping once, and I was bombing my dick clean off. Don't worry, it'll never see the light of day. But I was bombing my dick clean off, and I was doing a joke about my mom having a brain tumor, and I saw a girl in the audience go and I started laughing. I was like,
yeah.
I'm like obsessed with you.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? Because I don't know what you thought you were coming to. And it's not like a sad joke. It's
yeah,
like
it's a great
joke. A
joke
where my
yeah.
mom is fine. It's not like it's not me doing like my one woman show where it's sad for 10 minutes and then funny at the end. It's like a pretty silly joke.
Yeah.
But I was like, I wish I could interview you about what you thought you were coming to.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean? Like, it was so
And to know you in real life that you're the type of person to be like, ugh.
Yeah.
Visibly in front of everybody being like, this bitch's fucking mom's brain tumor. You're so mean.
It's so funny.
You're such a mean person.
You're really working against all the perceptions people have about you once you walk on stage.
And women. Yeah. And like everyone like you.
Men. Like drunk men.
Oh,
just
yeah.
thinking that they can like catcall you on stage.
Dude, I was about to go on stage the other night and right before I went up the club sat 10 people late, and it was 10 like 21-year-old boys who had just finished watching the Knicks game. And before that, the audience was like 80% queer people and like girls with micro bangs. Ugh. And I was like, I mean, you fucked me.
Yeah.
You fucked me. I was about to have the set of my life. Yes. And you've absolutely fucked me.
Yeah.
And it totally had these guys were like disruptive and sort of bullied the other cool people in the audience into not laughing. And like everybody got uncomfortable. And it's just like, and it's not on the club at all. Their job is to make money. And these people bought tickets. There's no universe in which they shouldn't have sat them. But I was just like, I mean, I could have had it all and it's over.
Yeah,
I know that. I'm trying to work on like seeing that in the audience and not like having it make me bummed out to go on stage.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely.
But it's really not because like you learn doing comedy so much that people are who you think they are.
Yes.
People are exactly who you think they are. Like, you know how things are going to go.
You know what's going to happen.
You know what they're going to laugh at. And like it happens. It's like clockwork. Like, you know how things do. That's why like when you do comedy for years, you're better at handling that stuff. Cause you're like, I know exactly what you're going to say.
Yeah. It's going to be this great
story. There's a great story about, I am 90% sure it was Greg Fitzsimmons, but he was doing a club in like St. Louis or something. And this guy was heckling him. This guy in the front row was heckling the whole show, and he was headlining, I think. And Greg went on, I doubt it would be a showcase. So I'm sure he was headlining. And Greg, or I think it was Greg, went on stage and started talking to the guy. And he was like, what do you do for work? You're a plumber. And the guy was like, yeah. And he was like, but you own the business, so you have like a good amount of money. And the guy was like, yeah. And he goes, what do you drive? Like a Ford F-150 with lifted tires. And the guy was like, yes.
You become a
And he was
psychic.
Like, and he was like, and that's your wife, and you've been in high school and you've been together for 30 years. And the guy goes, yeah, how did you know that? And Greg looks at the guy and goes, because it's my fucking job to know. And then he was like, now stop talking and let me do my job. And it's like, that is a guy who's been like doing stand up for so fucking long that he knows everything about this person based on the few things that he's said so far.
Yeah.
And it's like, there's nothing wrong with us seeing 10 drunk guys who just came from a Knicks game and going, these guys are gonna hate,
me.
It's our fucking job to know.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's our job to get on stage and be like, I know you're gonna hate me, give me a second.
Yeah. It's a lot of judging like back and forth. Like, we're judging them.
Yeah.
Because we've done this a million times, we know how it goes. And they're judging us, but when they're judging us, they don't realize that we've done this a million times.
Yes.
And like, we can handle it.
Yeah.
Or like, sometimes they see a woman go on stage and it's like, oh, you've just not been exposed
you're
to comedy.
Yeah.
And you're gonna like lose your mind.
Yeah. I had a guy recently, I was like, there was a really beautiful woman in the front, and as famously as a closeted lesbian, I was like, you're so beautiful. And this other like finance loser was like, you guys should kiss. And I was like, well, now I'm gonna be mad this whole fucking
set.
We were
having a nice time.
Yeah. And I'm gonna try to not be visibly mad, but I'm fucking mad.
Yeah.
And I'm like, now I'm gonna be the fucking nasty feminist to you guys, and it's just what it's gonna
That's
be.
That's like when you go, who's dating? And two male friends go, we're dating. And I go, oh, really? Because you looked gay as fuck.
Yeah.
So I thought that you were.
Yeah. And it's also like, you've made me have to be who you think I am.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
You thought I was gonna come up here and be the killjoy feminist, and then you said, now kiss, and now I have to be her.
Yes.
But I was gonna be a silly, goofy, fun time.
Yeah.
I think it helps.
This whole thing's ruined for me.
If you just like take them at face value and be like, oh, you guys are together? Like, how long? And just be like, oh, I just believed you.
Yeah.
Because they want you to get mad at them.
I live in a world where people are gay sometimes.
Look like you.
Think being gay is a joke.
That's what,
that's what they want you to do.
I've often said, like, oh, look, everybody, this guy thinks it's funny to be gay.
Yeah.
And then people are like, what? And it's like, you have to sometimes let the audience member bomb.
Yeah. Yeah.
You have to, like, I've started sort of just standing there and letting them bomb.
Yeah.
And being like, do you feel that feeling? That feeling is telling you not to do that again.
Yeah.
And it's not funny, and it ruins the momentum of the show, but it's like my little vigilante act where I get to be like, and now you're done forever. You've tried it. It didn't work. It's over.
It's so annoying. And it's only men. Like, women never do that.
I know.
It happens, like, I think it probably happens once a week to me.
Same. All the time. Yeah.
It's so annoying. I need, like, a word for that type of guy in the audience.
Should we bust into some respectfully segments?
Yeah, we gotta get into it.
Let's get into it.
We gotta do it, guys. I think that you don't need to be friends with your friends' friends.
Yeah, I agree with this.
And sometimes people always try to make a group thing happen. I'm like, I was looking forward to just talking to you.
Totally. Yeah.
I don't really know this person.
Dude.
Yeah.
Totally. And then God forbid your friend goes to the bathroom and now you're just there.
Yeah, like a weird date. Like, not everyone's going to get along just because they know you.
Yeah. Yeah. And it feels like there's a lot of pressure. Like, I've heard people talk about this a lot, where there's a lot of pressure when you're, like, integrating friend groups.
Uh-huh.
And it's like, you actually just don't have to do that.
You don't have to. You can have separate friends. I love having separate friends for some parts of my life.
You can have a lunch, then a dinner.
Yeah.
You don't have to bring them all together.
It's the same thing for, like, partners. Like, I have felt no pressure for Nick to be friends with my friends. I'm like, we can have our own spheres of social interactions.
Yeah.
Yeah, with your partner, it's like, you guys should be able to hang out and not, like, dislike each other. But you don't have to, like, I don't need you to be, like, hanging out with my friend without me there.
Yeah.
Like, that's not, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
I was dating a guy and everything was going well at the time, and I didn't like his friends, but everything was going well. So I talked to my therapist and I was like, yeah, like, I really like this guy, but I don't like his friends and I have to keep hanging out with his friends. And my therapist goes, so you guys have good chemistry. You have the same values as each other. You get along and you don't like his friends. And I was like, yeah. And he goes, what, does everybody have to be fucking perfect? And I was like, whoa, you're right. That's such a good thing to be the one thing that's wrong with someone.
Yeah.
And it's not like this guy's friends were, like, evil. That'd be different. You know, like, if you hang out, if you meet your boyfriend's friends and they're, like, racist and evil, you're like, oh, my boyfriend might have a secret.
Yeah.
But they were just, like, a lame hang.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, yeah, I'm living in this world where everybody has to be fucking perfect. And in reality, I can just be busy when he has plans with his friends.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It is a good litmus test, specifically if you date men, to if they A, have female friends, or B, have friends who are not, like, shitty dudes. Like, if you meet a guy and their friends are shitty dudes, agreed, like, run for the hills. But I often find, if men do have female friends, they kind of, like, send you off to be on a play date with them.
Yeah.
And you're like, cool, I like this person's values and stuff like that and all that. But they are also boring. And you don't have to be like, you two would get along because you're, like, kooky.
Because you're both,
like,
girls.
Yeah. Yeah. And you're like, fuck, this bitch is so goddamn boring.
Or it's like, I know
boring.
Whose side you're on in every fight.
Yeah.
Like, I know that you guys talk. Like, I just feel like it's weird. Like, it's hard for me to, like, really want to lock in on, like, a real friendship with my boyfriend's friends, because I'm like, if we break up, I'd lose a whole network of people.
Yeah. Like, I feel like he gets you in the divorce.
Yeah. Like, I feel like unless I'm, like, married to someone, I'm like, I don't see a reason to, like, be, like, viewing your friends as my family when they're, like, your family.
Yes.
Because if there's a divorce, they're not mine anymore.
Yeah.
And also that is, like, that is a good thing for you to both have if you do break up. Like, I dated someone who we had all the same friends. We, like, started dating because we were friends. So all of our friends were the same people. And then when we broke up, neither of us had any fucking friends.
Yeah,
because we both thought that they would choose the other one. Or it was just, like, uncomfortable.
Actually, we hate both of them.
Yeah.
Or, like, if we hung out with them, like, we couldn't know for sure that the other person wouldn't be there. So now everyone has lost everything. How does that help?
Yes.
You know what I mean?
I threw my phone twice and everyone has lost
everything. I have no phone. I have no friends. I have nowhere to go.
I had a boyfriend that, like, always wanted me to hang out with his friends. And I'm like, why?
Yeah.
Also, sometimes I think that means the couple doesn't like each other enough. If you're always...
Oh, yeah. He didn't like me.
It's like, you can't be alone together.
Oh, right. He hated,
like,
me.
But do you know, if it's like you can't be alone together... Like, I dated a guy that I didn't like enough. So I was always like, come to this thing
Let's
with
go.
All my friends.
Yes.
And it was because we had fucking nothing to talk about when we were alone.
You a little bit. Yeah.
And then if we hung out with my friends, at least I could be like, isn't that girl's boyfriend a fucking drag? And now we have something to say.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Like, it was just because we had no fucking chemistry and I was so bored and annoyed of him that I was like, at least my friends are here for me to talk to, you know?
Yeah.
I have actually that sparked a respectfully for me.
Yes.
If you guys are into it. Respectfully, I think it's okay for us to just start saying people are annoying. Do you know what I mean?
We were talking about this on another episode.
Yes.
Like, I think it's okay to be annoying.
Yeah. And I think it's like, when you say someone's annoying, people are always like, oh, you're like character assassinating, or it's like deeper than it actually is. And it's like, no, this person just like fucking annoys me, and that's it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You like, just don't mesh with them.
Yeah. And like, plenty of people find me fucking annoying, I'm sure.
Exactly.
And like, it's just like, you annoy me. Get the fuck out of here.
And it's also not that deep. Like, you could still be friends with someone that annoys you.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
And everyone's also annoying sometimes.
Yeah.
And someone doesn't have to be evil for you to not be friends with them.
Yes. Like, you can just be like, no, not that person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't like their vibe. My next one is that maybe we should start considering Eskimo Sisters as a networking opportunity.
Yes.
Yes.
And we should have some sort of allyship, and maybe we can all meet up and hang out.
I've always had nothing but reverence and respect for my Eskimo sisters.
Yes.
Unless it's like literally a girl who's in love with your boyfriend or something. But if me and another, especially this happens a lot in comedy, like I feel like early in your career you fuck other comics.
Of course.
There are so many girls in comedy who have fucked the same guy as me, and sometimes I know and they don't, and I'm always so fucking excited to tell them.
Oh my god.
It's like,
I know.
We share something.
Yeah, it's
we
actually you probably have a lot in common.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the way that person was shitty, if it's a shitty person, you can lock in on like all the tiny little minutiae, and it's so exciting.
Or even if they weren't shitty, it's like we both know a secret.
Yeah.
We both know exactly.
He punches himself in the head when he comes.
We both know that he punches himself in the head when he comes.
Yeah, and also like if you're dating like a specific type of person, like an artist, they probably have dated artists. Now you're connected to a graphic designer.
Exactly. Yes,
who can make your flyer.
Exactly.
We should unionize.
We're on Fiverr, girls.
Yeah, I've definitely like met a girl who I'm an Eskimo sister with, and we've both looked at each other and been like, well, of course.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean, I'm looking in a mirror, you know? And it's like, why would I not want to know her? We're the same girl.
Yeah. And I feel like people let that get in the way of maybe being friends with someone.
Yeah.
Have you ever
which is strange to me.
Have you guys ever met an Eskimo sister that's so radically different that you're like, whoa.
Oh,
that
yes.
You're kind of like, this guy will fuck anybody.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. And I don't mean like she's ugly. Yeah. I mean like she just isn't like me at all.
Completely a different
and you're like,
archetype.
Oh, so this guy just likes
oh, is
women.
Oh, he pansexual?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. 100%. Yeah.
Okay, that was that take. The next one is you're dating her, which just means like people who are like, oh, we just saw each other for a few weeks. Oh, we were just sleeping together. Like, you're dating her.
Yes.
No.
You guys have to say you were dating or
girlfriend.
You are dating. Like, even if you're not your girlfriend, it's like you guys were dated.
I've sort of started radically using the word dating the way that they did in the 90s, which is to mean going on dates and having sex.
Yes, you're dating.
You're dating.
And like, people are like, we didn't really date. It was like 3 months. I'm like, you dated.
Everybody that I've
what
ever.
Is it? What were you doing then?
Everybody that I've ever had a situationship, whatever you want to call it, a talking stage, everybody like that in my past, I always go, I dated that guy for 3 months. We dated.
Even 2 weeks.
We fucking dated.
And, we dated for 2 weeks.
And when people use the word dated, they didn't always mean they were exclusively dated. Like, it's like, that is the best word to describe what you were doing.
It's the best word to describe it. And also, it minimizes, like, it makes it sound like it's like, no, you dated that person. It's fine.
It's fine.
It's fine. You're dating.
It's like having your period or getting molested. It doesn't have to be a big deal.
You're dating three people at once. It's fine.
It's fine.
You're dating.
What, I think
it's a big deal if you got molested.
Yeah, yeah, that's serious.
I will take it a step further. If someone is like your girlfriend for all intensive purposes, but you don't want to say it because you like don't like them as much as you should, I'm
or you
talking
have
about
attachment
men,
issues,
yeah, or whatever it may be that you don't want to call them your girlfriend. If you call them your girlfriend, they don't like magically become bound to you by some spell. You can break up and then be like, oh, that was my girlfriend. You can have a girlfriend for a month,
and
by the way, and make her feel like a fucking human being.
It feels like people make it a big decision. It's like, this is
change. Fucking not just lie. This is my girlfriend, and then secretly be like, but she's not going to be it for long. Who cares?
And let me say this. If somebody is your girlfriend or boyfriend, you can actually break up with them.
Right.
Yes. If you're doing some sort of undefined, we're friends, but we hook up thing, then it becomes much more complicated to break up with them.
Because you're like, oh, we're not really seeing each other one more time.
Because then breaking up with them becomes you just going, hey, I know that I don't have any responsibility towards you, but I'd like to not see you around anymore.
Yeah.
Whereas if you're dating, you can be like, I don't want to date you anymore.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Also, it's like more humiliating to be like, I know I basically
am nothing to you.
Am nothing to you.
But I'd like you to be less.
Yes. You were my girlfriend and now you're not my girlfriend. Done and done. Women can hear that they're someone's girlfriend and then not be like, when's the engagement coming? We're not like fucking idiots.
It also just makes more sense. Like, I don't like hearing, like, because then you have to explain that you're just fucking someone. I'm like, I don't really need to hear the minutiae of, like, with this person you're seeing.
Yes.
Yeah, you have to be like much more explicit in your description. You have to be like, this is the guy I fuck on Thursday. Tuesday. Yes.
It's like, just say you're dating. I don't care.
I don't want to know about how you fuck.
Yeah. Also, to your
point. This is my cowgirl.
to your point, too, it's like when people are dating, not dating or whatever, and they're telling you about how they fuck, and it's people you really don't want to hear about them fucking, you're like, ugh, well, now I have to like get the fucking,
you're
paint
dating.
The tableau of you getting blown by this lady you don't like. I don't have to kill myself.
Also, it's like, ugh. I have a friend right now who, as a joke, he knows it's a joke. He's fucking his ex and he keeps calling it a thing nobody's ever done before.
Hilarious.
He's like, we're trying a thing no one's ever done before.
That's
but
funny.
Some people do act like that.
Yeah.
Like they'll be like, just, they'll be in like a situationship with someone and they'll be like, we're actually trying this new thing where we don't have labels, but we mean a lot to each other
really
and we have sex.
Yeah.
And it's like, hey, all of us have done that and it's never fucking worked. Okay.
Yeah.
You're not going to the moon. You're letting some guy come in you and acting like it means anything to him.
You're dating.
Actually it'd be so funny for the person who is obviously less liked in the relationship to just start referring to the other person as their boyfriend without permission, being like at a thing with them and being like, this is my boyfriend.
I was dating a guy in college who would not call me his girlfriend because we lived in different cities, but we were dating. We were like taking buses to hang out with each other. We were FaceTiming every night. If we didn't FaceTime, we both knew it was because the other one was hooking up with someone else begrudgingly. Like we were dating. So I would refer to him in front of him in conversation as not my boyfriend.
Right.
And I think that's also a really fun power move.
Yeah, yeah.
And at the time, I didn't really like know what I was doing. I just thought it was funny. But I do think it kind of put him on his heels a little bit where I was like, I'm making you look stupid in front of people.
Yeah, you're making him be like, I want you, but he won't wed me.
Yeah. Yeah.
The next one is, so this is comes from my Subway take where I said that I think that Subway dancers should be employed by the MTA because it's fun. And everyone commented that I was a transplant and that I'm the white devil.
Oh,
and
enough with the transplant. I would just like,
I have a thing I'd like to say about because would it, okay, so people are mad because I moved here to do my life.
To do your dreams.
To do my dreams. But I will say, would it have been better for me to stay in Kansas, where most people are white and there's no culture and there's no like education on like different races and people, like, is that better for the world if I stay there?
Right.
And also, like, congratulations on being born in a place. Like, do you have any other accomplishments that you have?
Thank you.
And I would also like to say, if you had gone on Subway Takes and said, I hate Subway dancers and I think they should be arrested, people would have called you a transplant.
And then J-Lo, they're all mad at me. Like, there's no such thing as not a New Yorker. If you live
people
in New York,
women.
You're New Yorker. Yeah. That show was such hate bait.
I know.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
I mean, this is our friend Tyler Snodgrass. It
has a great joke. Yeah.
But essentially, it's exactly what you're saying. It's like native New Yorkers are, in a sense, townies. And they're telling people who had like the gumption and bravery to move to a major fucking city and know nobody and try to do a thing and be scared all the time to be like, you're actually a sellout. And it's like, how am I a fucking sellout? I moved here when I was a teenager with zero fucking friends, and you're better than me because you came out of your mom's pussy in Queens. You work at fucking T-Mobile and you won't give Lizzie a goddamn phone.
You won't let me borrow your
phone.
I get that the conversation is confusing because I'm asking for a phone. I'm asking for your phone to use Google Maps.
Yes.
But also, my boyfriend was born in Manhattan. I have talked to him about the transplant dilemma before because technically, okay, people are going to fucking skewer me for saying this. I am technically a transplant. I'm from Albany, New York. I was not born in New York City. My whole family is from New York City. So I have like a spiritual kinship with, I've always felt like New York City is like a part of my family's history and it's always been important to me. But I know that I have to say that I'm a transplant because they'll fucking come for me if I don't. And I am one. I moved here from somewhere else when I was 18. I did. Okay. I understand that. I have asked my boyfriend before, like, what is a transplant to you? As someone who is from here, who didn't grow up rich, who is all of the things that transplants or people who hate transplants talk about. My boyfriend is that guy. I've been like, what is a transplant? And he's like, a transplant is someone who moves here for 3 years and then goes to Connecticut to have children.
Yep.
That is what a transplant is. He was like, you moved here because you've always wanted to live here. You make stuff here. You know what I mean? Like, there's a difference between people who give a fucking shit about New York City and have always wanted to live here and have dreamed of living here And there's a difference between that and someone who's like, well, I want to go to cool bars for 3 years and then leave.
Yeah.
Those are different people.
Yes.
And I understand that those people are fucking annoying. They annoy me too. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it's like, yeah, we're like doing different things.
Like the village girls that yeah. all dress yeah. the same and hang out with the same people they were friends with in college.
And you can do that anywhere. And I totally get why that's annoying.
Yeah. True.
Yeah.
Can, I mean, I don't know. I just like... Do you really want no one to move? Because that means you can't leave.
Yeah.
Do you never want to leave? Like, we should all be able to go wherever we want. I think the only thing that like makes sense of that argument is gentrification.
Yeah, of course.
For sure, of course. And we all know that's not what they're saying.
No. They're yeah. saying like, don't ever come here.
Yeah.
Why?
Like, we hate you. You're like, people were looking up where I was from. I'm like, you're from Kansas. You're not a real New Yorker. I'm like, I like have had no leg up in this world and have like made a thing for myself. Like, yeah. I am not like some girl that you think I am. And it was crazy.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just, the hate, it felt like it wasn't about me from no, that yeah, take. And not, I was yeah. like, it's not even, you're not even talking about gentrification. You're talking about me not, I'm not allowed here.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I was like, okay, I mean, I live here and contribute to the city.
It's kind yeah. of MAGA-y, actually.
Yeah, I perform every night in this city and like provide a lot of entertainment and services yeah. and like, yeah. you know.
I'm part of one of the things that makes this city cool to live in, which is there's stuff to do at night.
Exactly.
Yeah, and you yeah. just don't like me, and that's also fine. Yeah. And you think I'm annoying, and that's also fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, what else? I have two more takes.
Great.
Let's one do is it. If someone gives you a book, you have to read it.
Agree.
Yeah.
You have to read it.
And it sucks, but you have
you
to.
You have to read it, and you have to read it fast.
Unfortunately, that's homework, and you have to do it.
But yeah. you have to do it because it's really important.
Unless you like don't give a shit about
unless
them.
Unless you don't like them. If you like them, you have to read it.
Yeah.
I gave a book to a friend whose parent died, and...
Rest in peace.
And they haven't read it, and it's really hurting my feelings.
Yeah, it hurts people's feelings.
Because it's like, I know all these grief books, a lot of them are corny and hack, but I'm like, this one is actually really going to help you.
At least that one, though, there's the reasoning of, like, the person might not be ready totally. To read it. But if I'm like, hey, I just, like, really love this story, and I thought you also would, yes. and they don't read it, you're like, oh.
It's like making a mix. It's like making a mixtape for someone. Yeah.
It's yeah. really a vulnerable thing to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sam Evans, read the goddamn grief book.
Sam, read the grief book. Come on, it'll help you.
It'll help you, and then I'll feel less weird. But, yeah,
that
I agree.
One's a small one. And then the last one I have is I Know What I Don't Like. And I feel like I'm pretty like, I know that if I don't want to do something, like I don't want to go to that party.
Totally.
I don't yep. want to do this. Oh, I actually don't want to. And people, I hate when people try to convince you to do it.
Totally.
Or they make yeah. you feel like you're like, oh no, you should push yourself more. And you're like, no, I actually like don't want to do this.
Yeah. I've actually tried everything.
Yeah.
I know who I like to hang out with. I know what I like to do. I'm yeah. very like in tune with myself.
I feel I this don't way about, I'm not a picky eater, but there are a few specific foods that I just really fucking don't. Like mm-mm. and I don't, and in a way that is like, it's actually gonna stop the conversation and the meal if this enters my mouth. I really don't like this.
Mm-hmm.
And when I go sometimes to like fancy restaurants or whatever, and you say like, can I have this without this one specific thing that I don't really like, which for some reason on your menu is in everything, people like scoff at you
yeah.
and act like you're like a baby. And it's like, no, I just like really don't like that, and I want to give you money and eat food.
Yeah.
yeah.
You know what I mean?
Listen to me. I don't
myself.
Like it.
And that brings me to another take that I have, which is I think really not liking a specific food counts as an intolerance to it.
Sure.
Like people are like, is it an allergy or do you just not like it? And it's like, well, I don't like it in a way where I will throw up. So am I, is it an intolerance?
I think you can tell people it's an intolerance anyways.
Yeah.
I know, but it just annoys me. It's like, it should be enough that I don't like it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you want me to be sad.
I should be allowed yeah. to not like it.
You know yeah. what? This actually came up the other night, and a lot of, oh my God, people in travel. Don't fucking get me started on travel. Okay, I understand traveling is a wonderful thing, and I've traveled a lot, but I was trying to explain that, like, I'm really anxious and germophobic, and I get scared when I'm alone for too long. I'm, like, a really kind of cagey person. Traveling is a big deal for me,
yeah.
and I have a limited amount of places that I feel comfortable in, and I know myself now. And when I was, like, talking to this guy about how I, like, don't really love to travel, and I totally get the value of it, and I think it's a great thing, but I also know that I'm going to be uncomfortable the whole time in like just certain places, or there's just things I don't like. He's like, you just seem so adventurous and full of life. And it's like, so now you're telling me that you think I'm like a loser pussy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm like, yeah. okay, well, I am adventurous, and like, I'm just
this I just don't want to be uncomfortable for $1,000.
Yeah,
I
think it's cool to know what you don't like about myself. Yeah, yeah.
I like admire like people who are like, I don't go there because I don't like that. Yeah, I'm like, you'd rather like be alone than go to this thing. And
I don't care about tapas. Sorry, I went to Spain and I got a yeast infection. I don't want to go back. I had to go to the pharmacy and be like, itch, vagina. Yeah, I can't do it again.
There's something really cool to me about like, you know, if I'm hanging out with a group of friends, like if we're at a comedy show and then people are all doing something after and someone's like, oh, we're all going dancing. Do you want to come? And there's one person who's like, no, I don't like that. I'm going home. I'm like, you are a so star. Fucking cool.
Yeah. That's me, you guys. I'm you going home. You know what home.
I mean? Yes.
Because I'd be like, going home.
I'm like, I've spent so much of my life being like, I want you guys to like me, so I'm going to pretend to like that. It's like, I want to go home.
And then I'm going
to
be a bad hang because I'm uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And sometimes people will make me feel bad. Like, they'll be like, no, come on. And that will make me feel bad. And I'm like, no, I just told you I don't like that.
Yes.
And I don't want to do that. And then it makes me feel like that triggers like my anxiety of like, oh, am I like
a loser?
It makes it makes me think like, oh, am I like setting myself up to do this? But I'm like, no, I just said I don't like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, random things like.
Like getting molested. Like you're beach. Like, I don't like
that. I don't like that. Stop doing that. Like the beach. I hate the beach. I refuse to go to the beach. And everyone's like, oh no, you got it. Like, I know how to do the beach.
I know how to do the beach and I just don't fucking want
to
do that.
Yeah, so I'm never going with you to the beach, but I know. All respect. I hope you guys have a great time.
I hope you have a great time. I'm happy for you that you're going. I don't want to go. I will say I'd like to walk into the ocean once a year. That does something for sort of my brain chemistry that's undeniable.
Yeah.
But Then I want to leave. I don't want to hang on the beach.
Yeah,
I'm sticky and it's sand. I just don't like it.
I don't like that. Have fun though. Happy birthday.
That's what I do. Yes. And now my friends have stopped inviting me to the beach. Same. And I really am thankful for that.
Goths.
Yeah,
and,
me too.
Goths and women don't like the beach.
A lot of women like the beach, unfortunately.
Well, a lot of women, and it makes sense. It seems I get it. I get it. But for me, it's like everything that I hate because I hate exposing my body to the world.
Same.
I hate the sun.
The sun killed my dad. Down.
Yeah. The sun killed your dad.
Yeah.
I hate like the sun killed Lizzie's dad.
Yeah. It's my enemy.
Yeah.
I have to kill the sun.
Yes. I hate laying down. I hate doing nothing. I hate water.
I hate when it's too bright to see my phone.
Yeah.
Yes. Your phone gets hot.
I hate when my phone gets hot.
And it's so far away. It's like an hour away.
And then also I'll say this about the beach in New York, especially if you go with a big group to the beach, it's so far away. Somebody rents a car and now I'm stuck there until these and I'm sober and these people are doing mushrooms and drinking alcohol and they're a bummer to talk to and now I'm stuck here until somebody decides that it's time to go home.
The beach is for alcoholics and solo women.
Yes, but in New York at least you can walk 35 minutes to a train and go home by yourself.
Right, that's true.
But if we're not in New York because I don't know how to drive, I am never going to the beach with you because I'll be stuck there for the rest of my life.
Yeah, that sounds terrible. I feel like I've been forced to go to the beach my entire life. Yes, and I'm an adult and I will not go to the beach.
No. Dude,
it's also like in New York especially like
pool though.
Weird needles in the sand that I'm scared of, people's kids that I fucking hate, and also I get this feeling when it's hot and there's loud music like I'm stuck in a room and the walls are getting like more and more, I'm getting walled in hard and I can't get out. Yeah, and I'm like,
terrible.
It's a fucking nightmare.
We're pale bitches. We don't want to go to the beach. We're like winter girls.
And
yes.
And the beach is the kind of thing where I can look at it and go, man, if that was fun for me, it'd be so fun.
Yes.
Yeah. I do like wish I did, but it just isn't.
Yeah. And I just don't want it.
I don't want to go on a vacation to a beach.
No.
Like when people have honeymoons on the beach, I'm like, that sounds
terrible. Go to Japan. Why wouldn't you go to Japan?
Go to Italy.
You're spending the same amount of money to lay down on a beach.
I also don't understand the point of like doing nothing on the beach.
Me neither.
I'm bored.
Like, this is your vacation.
Yeah.
Gotta get out there. I gotta see people.
I gotta get diarrhea in Balenciaga.
I gotta spend money.
Yes.
I gotta go.
I know. I really don't want to just lay down.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad you all agreed with me on that.
Yeah. Great fuck the
takes,
beach,
dude.
Fuck the beach.
All right. We fucking did it, man. Yeah. We did the damn thing. Back, better, stronger than ever, I'll say.
Yeah,
it was
I'll say.
Really good, I think.
You're fucking fantastic.
I'm really sweaty and I'm really sorry.
That's okay. You don't smell.
It's hot. Where can people find you and follow you?
My Instagram is OG Carter.
Yes.
Go there.
See her live.
Tour dates.
Fucking rock star.
Information. There.
Lizzie.
When does this come out soon?
2 weeks probably.
Okay, never mind. I was in Portland, Maine. Don't worry about it. I run a show every Wednesday at Greenpoint Comedy Club at 8 if you want to come find my white ass. And follow me on Instagram, Lizzie Cassidy.
I run a show at Halyards and also The Stand called Bitches Brew if you want to come find my white ass. And I'm at Andrea Comedy 69.
Bye.
Yay.
Yeah.